From between the hedges at Sanford Stadium to the practice fields, from Stegman Coliseum and wherever else the Bulldogs are playing, it's time to talk Georgia sports.
Touchdown, 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 don't win it!
From the Athens Banner Herald, here are your hosts, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Welcome in. It's the Bulldogs Extra Podcast. Mark Weiser, UGA beat writer for the Banner Herald, with Ryan Dennis, sports editor of the Banner Herald. And Ryan, we are 2.5 weeks until Georgia, Clemson, and Charlotte.
17 days, to be exact.
What do you got, a little number thing you pull off every day, 16, 15?
Yeah, you know, I have one of those things like at Christmas time, you know, where you'd had this long string of interlocking whatever, and you pull one off every day. And, you know, I would rip one of those off.
I used to count down how many days until summer vacation.
Yeah. But the bad thing about that was I would always start on day one of school. 179 to go, or whatever it was.
All right, we're going to talk about the Bulldogs heading into scrimmage number two on Saturday with a... we're not going to talk to him about the scrimmage, but we're going to talk with the big Bulldogs fan, one Kevin Kisner. What's he done on the PGA Tour lately? Anything?
Yeah, man. He won the Wyndham Championship in a six-player playoff. Man, did you catch that, what they looked like?
I did. It was first of all, when the schedule scrambled up because of rain,
I think the final two started at like 10:30, right? Or maybe they had three in a group.
Yeah.
But I couldn't find it anywhere.
No, so I was watching it on PGATour.com or whatever, and then... I think my streaming was getting a little messed up or something, but I figured that CBS was going to just run it from 3 to 7 and all on tape delay, but I turned it on CBS at 3, and guess what? They had it on live, so I saw it then. So you didn't see it live?
No, I didn't. And I turned on Golf, and they were doing like tape delayed.
Golf Channel?
Noon, and they were doing tape delay, and I'm like, this stinks, man. Y'all need to show it live as it happens.
All right, we'll talk to Kevin. He's going to be gracious enough to join us before he's getting ready, I think, for a pro-am in outside New York City.
Well, he's first round of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and big time. I mean, he's I think it's his third or fourth straight time.
He's going
for the final. You know,
he will be the second PGA Tour player that went to Georgia to join the podcast after Brian Harman. So this will start a trend. Hopefully, we can get every week. We'll get a new Georgia.
Hey, guy. Well, you know what? There's so many to pick from now. There's 10 guys. There's only 125 that make the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Somebody got a card from whatever the AAA league is called now.
Corn Ferry Tour, right?
Yeah. Was it Grayson Sigg?
Grayson Sigg, a former Bulldog. We had a story on Grayson a couple months back about how he probably would have made it last year if they hadn't altered the schedule because of COVID.
All right, well, let's switch it to football before we get to Kevin. School is starting, by the way, today at Georgia as we record this on Wednesday morning. And I felt the traffic coming in here, Ryan.
Did you?
The students are ready for school. Well, I don't know if they're ready, but they're at least
here.
They're at least driving to whatever. But all right, let's talk about some not great news for Georgia, just because we haven't touched on it since last week. The Arik Gilbert situation, as we haven't had a chance to talk to Kirby since Saturday, but presumably he's still away from the team as he's dealing with personal issues. Kirby said, obviously you hope he gets things straightened up in terms of so he can be so he can be a teammate for these guys and be around the program. And obviously had opted out last season at LSU, and so before you think about what he can join or bring to the football team, which is a lot as a big target for JT Daniels, you hope he gets things squared away in his personal life.
Yeah, I mean, that's the first concern, obviously. If somebody's, if it's mental health-wise and whatnot, you hope that they can get that figured out and straightened out. But two, I mean, you were looking at Arik Gilbert as a guy that would come in and produce for an injured George Pickens. They moved him kind of from a tight end to a more receiver role, which I mean kind of fits his what did he lose, like 15 pounds 20 pounds from where he was at LSU? Slender, gotten a little more slender, and was going to move in there and kind of be more of a receiver, and you were expecting you know, him to be the guy that could fill in for a lost Pickens to go along with, you know, Darnell Washington at tight end, maybe Jermaine Burton and other receivers out there. So a big hit for the Bulldogs, but hopefully for their sake he can get right, get back out on the field, and be the productive guy he was as a freshman at LSU.
Isn't it Eric? Is Eric? I don't know.
We need to go to the pronunciation guide. I do believe it's like Eric, but you know, we have Scott Howard pronounce it on the website. I do believe we should pull that up.
Oh, does he?
I think so. Really? I don't know if that's out yet, but there is a pronunciation guide, and we got the media guide right here. Maybe I should peruse it while you talk for a second.
Ryan texted me that he got a hard copy media guide that he's now manhandling. Which yeah. I'm gonna take that one home, aren't I?
Yeah, I need one too, though. Where can I find one?
Claude Felton, you might want to email him and ask him for that.
Yeah.
All right, it's not really great programming or listening to be having Ryan thumbing through the media guide as he looks for the pronunciation.
Well, I do know that scene is pronounced like that, not like our movie theater in the back of downtown.
Okay. All right, well, kind of on another note.
Nope, found it, and you are right. It is a reek.
Okay. All right. Well,
good for you.
Hopefully, we'll get a chance down the road to speak to Mr. Gilbert on a in-person deal, not on a Zoom call, and we can get him with the proper pronunciation. You know what? This reminds me. This is way off a tangent since we're talking about his personal situation. But you know, while you hate to see, I don't even want to try it because I'm going to mess it up. Savir. So I don't remember exactly.
Savir Wheeler,
before he transferred to Kentucky, a couple of times he chastised media members who mispronounced his name, which I get. I mean, you want your name to be pronounced properly, but you won't have to worry about that next season as he'll be playing for Kentucky and not for Georgia.
Yeah.
All right, another kind of personal issue at Georgia, personnel issue. Scott Cochran, as we know, has been away. Kirby Smart kind of, you know, detailed what the plan is for the special teams coaching as Cochran is away while he's dealing with some mental health and, you know, his becoming, you know, trying to, you know, work on his well-being and that kind of thing. We know that Will Muschamp is on the field. We've seen the practice photos. The practice remains closed. And, you know, he does have a role in special teams, but there's other folks that are really have their hands pretty deep in it. Todd Hartley, the tight ends coach, who was dealing, you know, already kind of directing the punt unit. You have Robbie Disher that came over from Louisiana Lafayette, ran their special teams, and they did very well in the return game. He's kind of the coach of the coaches, Kirby terms it, which I think he kind of used in the past on some of these you know, analyst type guys. So, you know, Kirby himself is involved a lot. And as Kirby says, as the head coach at South Carolina and Florida, Will Muschamp already was pretty involved in the special teams. Ryan, are you, is there any impact on the field, by all, you know, by Cochran being gone, or was really kind of a team effort to begin with?
I mean, you know, it all seems like all hands on deck right now as far as getting that right. I'm not even sure that the benefit of Will Muschamp on the field is going to come in the special teams side, right? I mean, with his knowledge of defenses, what could he do to, you know, help out there is my thinking. And, you know, when you got a former head coach in him, and you got what Todd Hartley worked with special teams, was in Miami and all, you know, it seems like a thing where – you know, they're going to put all their heads together and do whatever they can to get that right. But, again, I think Will Muschamp's biggest benefit of being an on-field coach is how he can help out on that side of the ball.
All right, one more thing before we bring on Kevin for our interview. Ryan, I'm disappointed again. Because the Bojangles thing, I was waiting for kind of you to reciprocate that last time, and you didn't. And this time, JT Daniels gets a Zaxby's deal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could have bought some Zaxby's last night and just, you know, microwaved it, brought it in here for some morning, you know, deliciousness.
Doesn't Zaxby's do breakfast?
Do they? I don't even know.
I think they tried it, and then it kind of disappeared, but I thought they brought it back. But it might be pull select
that up
locations.
On your, pull that up on laptop.
Tell I'll me look it up in this media guide here that's still in my lap. but I tried it once, and it was like a spicy chicken finger on a biscuit. And, you know, it was okay.
JT Daniels is Zaxby's college NIL ambassador. And
it seemed to fit, right? I mean, Zaxby's 2 minutes down the road, really in Watkinsville, but Athens Corporation.
Corporate office is in. You're saying it's Watkinsville? I thought it's in. Isn't that in Athens? On
it's right there.
Research?
No. It's over. It's right next to like 316 in that business park area. There's a Quick Trip next to it. It's right there, pretty much on the border of Athens and Oconee County. So technically not Athens.
All right, according to the Google search, Zaxby's does not currently serve breakfast. It's planning to add some breakfast items in menus at selected locations. That's a detail as of February 2021. So
let me ask you this. So we get JT Daniels after a game, right, now with the new NIL laws. Does he come up there
with a Zaxby's cup and set it kind of like the Coke bottle?
Now,
who is Georgia's official chicken sponsor? Do they have one? I don't know. I mean, I think it's rotated. They used to serve
chicken.
Didn't they used to serve Raising Cane's like after games and stuff, like at basketball and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But here's a question. If you had asked JT Daniels, say, after the spring game, if you just, you know, did a little chit chat, and you asked him about his favorite kind of, and he, you know, I can't remember. I'm sure you hear guys that aren't from the South are talking about, I love Chick-fil-A and that kind of thing. Do you think Zaxby's is really his go-to before they came in with him with a lot of money?
He seems like he'd be more of a Cava guy, that new Mediterranean joint. Doesn't that seem like, you know, get a little hummus?
I think you're being a little stereotypical of California culture.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mm. You know, I think I had to do a story.
By the way,
I had to do a story on Zaxby's a few years back, and it's far west. I mean, they have some in maybe Salt Lake City, or maybe it's Nevada.
No, they don't. I wrote the story yesterday about JT, being partnered with Zaxby's, and I searched up on their website if they have any in L.A. or near L.A., and it was a zero, nothing.
Yeah, Nevada, I think, or it might even be Salt Lake City. Is as far it's the only. It's like the only place west of Houston.
Speaking of Cava, by the way, we've already eaten there because got our hands on a little sneak preview thing where they gave out some free food on the day before.
I heard
they
it was
opened.
Really good.
It's good. It's good stuff. Yeah.
What did it replace? Zoe's Kitchen, maybe. Kind of the same thing.
Zoe's Kitchen. All right. One more thing about this the Zaxby's JT Daniels deal. So part of the deal is he's supposed to like hook up his teammates with, like, in this deal, I don't think it's necessarily money, but it's probably a lot of free chicken and food. But he is doing a trading card deal where he's signing, I can't remember the figures, but he, part of his, I think 50% of his money maybe is going to teammates. Look at my story, the Banner Herald. I don't have it up in front of me, but. So he's trying to include them because he's going to be making so much more money in the NIL space than they are.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You said he'd be paid out in chicken. That cracked me up. Like, I'm imagining like what some of them would do for.
Maybe
a thing of Skittles.
I'm thinking like maybe Zaxby's would be like, look, here's some like free cards. Hand them out in your locker room. I don't know.
Huh. That's interesting.
I don't know.
So I can't imagine that. Collier Pernu, is that the lady in charge of of food and nutrition and whatnot? She can't be like, JT. I don't want you going every day to Zaxby's to get a kicking chicken sandwich or anything like that. That's not you're gonna.
I mean, I think
up.
They're allowed a cheat meal or two or three. So, all right, hey, let's bring on Kevin. All right, Kevin?
Yeah, this will be fun. I'm excited.
Kevin Kisner coming on, the PGA Tour champion from last weekend. All right, joining us now is the four-time PGA Tour winner, fresh off a win at the Wyndham Championships in Greensboro. Kevin Kisner. Kevin, appreciate you jumping on with us here.
Yeah, good to be on with you guys. Hope you're doing well.
We are. And I know you're coming off a big weekend, and you got another rolling into another tournament this week. I guess kind of take us back to Sunday, your six-man playoff. What's your mindset when that thing starts haven't been in five previous playoffs and you know, playing well, but a lot of guys there standing there with you at the end.
Yeah, I would have said before we started that my odds of winning my first playoff weren't very good in this one either. So it was an interesting ending to the tournament. Never thought the 15 under was going to be good enough. I just assumed that I was out of it when I didn't birdie 15 on the back nine and made that birdie on 16. And noticed that nobody behind me was really going that much lower, so I knew I still had a chance. So, fortunate enough that Adam didn't make that putt to win the tournament. I was already assumed that the tournament was over in the first playoff hole. And then to bounce right back and then have a chance to win and knock it in on the next one was extremely gratifying.
What do you call that thing, a hit and giggle?
Yeah, it's like what you do at your home club late in the evenings or something. Everybody just says, let's go play together.
Man, that was a lot of people walking off. You hit that shot in there on that last playoff hole, man. How good did that feel? You had the leg kick, a little twirl working, you know. I mean, when that comes off the club, what's that feeling like?
Well, I had a perfect number, and then obviously I draw the ball, and the pin was back left, so it was a perfect situation. Downhill slow, people, you know, TV doesn't do it justice how big of a downhill lie I had, but I think that's kind of where the leg kick came from more than I pulled the shot off. I was just trying to hit. But, you know, as soon as I touched it, I knew it was going to be reasonably close to the hole, and it's just one of those shots that you envision before you walk in. You had a perfect number, and then you pull it off, and just hoping that nothing weird happens and it gets in there snug enough so that you can knock it in.
The FedEx playoffs open this week with the Northern Trust, which is in Jersey City, which I guess is just right outside New York City. I mean, I guess you maybe played a practice round. You know, what's the skyline look like there? What do you think of that course and being in you know, around the Big Apple there for this tournament?
Boy, it's a great golf course. I played here in the President's Cup in 2017, and then I think the playoffs were here in 2019 as well. So, well, very familiar with the golf course. The skyline's as spectacular as you can get playing, you know, holes looking at the Statue of Liberty. Just an awesome project that they pulled off here in Jersey. So it's a great golf course. We're looking forward to a great week here and getting ready to roll out there and play a little pro-am.
So how do these playoffs, I mean, obviously you got the four majors, you got some other big events, the Players, you know, where do these playoffs stack up, you know, when you look at your calendar and your year as on the tour?
Well, the biggest prize in golf is the FedEx Cup Championship. So you can't win it if you're not in the playoffs, and you can't win it if you don't make it to East Lake. So those are huge goals of mine to start the year, obviously. And last week was a big jump up the standings to have a chance to win it. So, with the points being, I think, four times the amount of a regular season event, you can really fly up the board if you play well here, even if you didn't play well during the season. So it is the ultimate playoffs and makes the prize that much bigger in these three events.
You mentioned the President's Cup there and, of course, the Ryder Cup this year, and I think you've lobbied for it and especially made a good statement the other day with the big win. But playing for, you know, the USA and that event, you know, particularly – what does that mean to represent the country and the atmosphere that comes with international events like that?
Well, in our sport, it's the only chance you have to play a team game. And growing up as a kid, I played every sport and played team sports and really loved it and never really dreamed that golf was going to be the one until I realized that I was going to be 5'10 and 160 pounds and realized that probably need to stick with golf. So I love the atmosphere. I love the camaraderie. I love pulling for other guys and trying to help the team win and obviously represent the country, the greatest thing you can do as an American. So it would be a dream come true, but I'm not going to get too wrapped up in it. I've been close, you know, the last three or four years and haven't gotten picked. So no reason to get your hopes up too big. And if you play well and take care of your business, then good things will happen.
Hey, I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I saw some kind of tease on Twitter. I guess you maybe did a Barstool podcast, and I saw they were talking about something about going to Wendy's after the win. Is that what happened?
Man, I was starving. I hadn't eaten since breakfast, and I did all the winning stuff and pictures and the things for Wyndham that they wanted and jumped in the car. And decided I was going to go to New York, but then I decided after I won that I'd go home and see my family, so I was driving back to Aiken, and first exit I saw was Wendy's, and I pulled in there, and I was like, man, I should put this on Instagram or something. I just went to a tour event rolling through a Wendy's drive-thru at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Baconator guy?
Bacon egg was good. The funniest part was I thought it was like something brand new because I hadn't been to Wendy's in so long, and obviously I was wrong on that one.
So 10 former Bulldogs, I think, made the FedEx Cup. You know, those guys, you know, Harris and Russell Henley and all, and, you know, a lot of guys, of course, in the playoffs. What does that say about the program? And, you know, do y'all ever see each other at tournaments and talk about, you know, Bulldog camaraderie and whatnot?
Oh, yeah, we see each other all the time. In fact, over at the British Open, we all stayed in the same hotel, and there was a lot of COVID regulations and restrictions over there, so we ended up having dinner almost every night. And one night we got rolling on telling old Coach Hack and Coach Douglas stories and laughing our faces off. It was a lot of fun. So we see each other all the time, and I'm just blown away at all the success that the guys from the program have had on tour. We're obviously the best represented on the PGA Tour, and we like to call it the UGA Tour.
I think 10 of 125, and it's the most that one school's ever had, Mark, in the playoffs at one time. That's pretty cool.
Did you happen to hear from get a text from Kirby or anything after the big win over the weekend? I know he's busy with scrimmages and preseason practice and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I talked to Kirby on Sunday night, and we talk a lot. He's a good dude. I try to stay out of his way. I know he's busy, and he stays out of mine when he knows I'm busy, but always bouncing ideas off each other, and I'm always asking if anything I can do to help them, and we had a lot of fun together.
Let's go back to 2005. You're here in Athens, I think, coming off a national championship for the Bulldogs, and you get back in town. I think y'all were in Baltimore. Is that where y'all won the championship that year?
Yeah, it's actually where we're playing next week.
There you go.
The FedEx Cup playoffs. So.
So you know that course well, but when y'all roll back into Athens, where did you hit up? Where are you going to celebrate a big national championship victory in Athens?
Oh, man, I can't even. You know, when we got back, school was out, so nobody was in town. We had to stay for a month after school was out to play in regionals and the national championship. But I don't even recall where we went. I'm sure General Bogarts was on there and City Bar, which I'm not even sure if it's still around. So we probably blew it up pretty good.
How about nowadays when you guys get back? I mean, maybe you guys can pick up a check now or then more than you did back then. Where do you guys hang out? Where do you go when you're in town for a game?
You know, usually we roll in just on game basis. I live in Aiken, only a couple hours away, and I try to get around to all the tailgates to all my buddies that still do the whole shooting shebang of setting up tents and showing up at 6 a.m. and I kind of roll in and just steal drinks from all of them. So I don't really go. I like the new little sushi joint right there downtown. I've been to that. What's that?
Chuck's Fish.
Yeah, I got Chuck. Yeah, that's a great spot. And, you know, normally David Duke hooks me up a little room right there at his new Spring Hill Suite. So just roll on down to the stadium. So it's amazing what bartering with golf clubs can for people that have hotels and cool things in Athens.
I haven't been to Chuck's Fish yet, Mark, but when I do, I'm going to drop Kevin's name in there. Say, hook me up with the kids special.
They might laugh at you. You probably better drop Kirby's name.
Yeah, that'd be a good call. Hey, this ain't no hobby thing. I know that's kind of become your slogan, trademark, so to speak. What were the origins of that? I never really understood how it came about and, you know, how you kind of started running with it.
Well, it was a Wheels Up day at Wingfoot. Wheels Up's been a longtime partner of mine. They had a tournament every year where they brought their clients in and the golfers that represent their brand on tour come and play with them. And these guys were asking me to play one more hole after the round, and I had enough, tired, and they finally talked me into it. It was like a 230-yard par 3, and I hit it in the middle of the green 20 feet and hit this putt. And as it was about halfway to the hole, I started walking towards the cart and said, "This ain't no hobby, boys." And it went dead in the middle. And I guess one of them in the group reached out to the Barstool guys and told them the story on the podcast and, you know, their audience and where it went from there. So for the last 6-7 years, that's all I get yelled at tour events. Which, when you're about 4 or 5 over in the round, it's not real fun to hear.
You hear a lot of go dogs, too, out there, right?
A lot of good dogs, yeah. A lot of good dogs.
Kevin, how many games do you think you might be able to get to this year for the Bulldogs? And, you know, what are your thoughts on kind of – do you have any concerns? Are you feeling like this is the year?
I'm so tired of hearing everybody tell us this is the year. How many times have we heard that? So I think it's so much like golf that, you know, you just got to go out and do what you know you can be successful at, and look up in the fourth quarter and see if you got a chance. And, you know, I think we'll find out a lot about our team in that first game in Charlotte, which I was hoping to go to, but now I'm hoping not to, because that means I'm in the FedEx Cup Tour Championship. So maybe Kirby will fly me up there in a helicopter again.
Yeah, last year, I think, what was it, three Georgia golfers y'all made it to the East Lake, and no Tech guys. You like rubbing it into them a little bit when they don't make it, and maybe a Coocher or something.
Well, they're such big dorks, they're not even fun to talk trash to, so it kind of goes with the territory, right? Like, it would be one thing if it was they were fun and easy to bust balls on, but, you know, it is what it is.
All right, Kevin. Hey, we don't want to keep you too long. Appreciate you joining us, and have a great week there in Jersey/New York, and appreciate you again joining us.
Yeah, good luck, man.
I appreciate you guys having me, and go Dawgs.
All right, that was Kevin Kisner. We appreciate him coming on with some good stories.
Man, and that's a fun dude, man. You know, he just seems like a guy you'd want to have a beer at. What do you say, Generals or City Bar?
I'm thinking, is that Spicoli from Fast Times that said, "Hey, I want to party with you, dude."
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what you're saying.
I would party in a heartbeat with kids, man. If he's in town. At Chuck's Fish, I guess. Maybe I'll go have a roll of sushi with him, and we can go. Though, you see, the difference is he has, what, two kids now, and I don't have any. So, you know, I'm always down to go out and have a drink downtown. He'd probably be like, I got to go to bed. I'm tired. And he makes a little more money than I do.
All right, Ryan, let's flip the subject here. Let's talk a little bit about Warren Erickson in this standpoint, the center for the Georgia Bulldogs injured. They are going to try to work him back into practice using his right hand to snap the ball because his left hand is the one that's injured. The left hand is what he snapped with. Look, here's what you have to do as a Georgia beat writer. When you learn that he had this hand injury and you're ready to write about it, you got to pull up, because I had no idea. I didn't know. Remember?
Got to pull a video of him snapping?
Yeah, you got to. Is he a righty or lefty? And then you got to try to. Some of these camera angles you can't even tell, but I did determine he was a lefty. You know. So they're going to try with the right hand, but I don't know if that's going to work.
Is Todd Monken's offense all out of the shotgun? I mean, most of it?
Yeah, most of it.
Because, you know, remember that like 2 years ago when was it Cade Mays that came in, and he was either a righty or a lefty. He was different than, who do they have at center? Galliard, I think.
Yeah.
And it caused a big thing, like they stole spin back, you know. That could be.
Trey Hill maybe was.
Trey Hill, yeah.
So how many things can you do with your opposite hand? Can you putt? Can you...
Not much.
Can you bat like a, you know, in a softball game?
Well, I could probably bat left-handed, but I mean, if you're talking about taking a pen and going, you know, writing my name,
right?
I mean, that's tougher. Like eating peas.
You can't turn around and putt like that.
I mean, I could.
Can you drive?
Wait. Oh, yeah. Like a on the golf course.
Yeah.
No. I would be totally lost. I think I could bat in baseball.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm talking about like actually being ambidextrous and like. You know, switching your glove mid-pitch, you know, throw right-handed one batter, left-handed the next. I mean, that would not be possible.
All right, so if this doesn't work out with the snapping with the other hand, I mean, it's looking more and more like you could have Jamari Salyer as your starting center against Clemson. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think that'll be, you know, well, like I said a couple years ago when they had, replacements come in, That'll be fine, but that makes you worry. Like, are they that desperate that, you know, that Warren, or is Warren Erickson that good of a center that you have to have him snap with his other hand?
No. Well, we'll find out. I mean, maybe, I mean, it's always about with the offensive line, isn't it? About who are our best five.
Right.
So if you feel Cedric Von Prahn, you know, might not quite be ready for some of the other things that come with that. I mean, you're kind of the captain of the offense to a certain extent with, you know, kind of making the machine roll.
And they're in charge of pointing out the middle linebacker and, you know, setting, I guess so.
Well, so, you know, and it might be, how do you feel about Xavier Trussell, left tackle? Do you think that Broderick Jones is ready? I heard he had a couple of rough patches during the scrimmage on Saturday. You know, you got some options, you got some pieces to move around, you see how everything works out, and you know, we'll learn more about how that's looking, like I mentioned, with the Saturday second scrimmage. Carson Beck, it appears, though, is your backup quarterback now. I mean, there's still a chance that something could change, but I understand he was working with the twos on Saturday.
This doesn't change our question, though, right, about the first game?
No, I think it does. Based on the fact that we got Todd Monken last week,
yeah,
and Monken indicated that, you know, well, he said Beck left the spring as the number two, which seemed to be the case, but I don't remember Kirby actually saying that explicitly. And then it appeared that, you know, Brock Vandegrift is your three, and you know, he talked about how Stetson, you know, it's kind of a tough thing, how you're competing to be the number three now, when you were the number one for last year as the starter. So I mean, we'll see. Sometimes it's a gut instinct. I mean, you know, it depends the time, the situation, the score in the game. Do you feel better about, you know, do you say, hey, Carson's done it in practice, we prepped him for this moment, let's let him roll if we need to? Or do you still feel like, you know what, the safe thing is to put Stetson in because he's done this before?
Well, no.
I'm not saying, I'm saying that's what's in
it. Let's be honest. Stetson had his moment. He was good for a few games. He's not your number two guy. And you bring in a four-star recruit.
I'm just telling you what Kirby, as the head coach, you know,
I get it.
What kind of things might go through his mind. I
get it.
I don't know.
And one, Brock Vandegrift from here in Athens or close by. I mean, as a five-star guy. So, you know, if worse comes to worse there, I mean, you have a pretty good. Now, the thing with, you know, with Brock is that he's still recovering a little bit from a knee injury. Mm-hmm. So, you know, where is he at and all that?
All right, Georgia, it's number five in the AP poll this week, which is the same as the coaches poll. I had them at number three in my ballot.
Hey, that's a good time to plug this, to sign up for the Bulldogs Extra newsletter, where Mark posted his top 10 in there, and you can see exactly what he posted. Or, you know, it's out there in Twitter. It's out there in Twitterverse, too.
But. Yeah, check it out. It's coming out on Tuesdays and Fridays, this newsletter with links to stories. Try to give you a little bit of behind the scenes, a little flavor, a little personality in the thing. You know, can't measure up to Ryan's personality and his rapport there with Kevin in that interview. Because, you know, Ryan is more of a golfer than I am, so.
Yeah, I still say, as much as, you know, we cover Georgia and everything else, I mean, there's nothing like going to Augusta National to cover that event.
All right, as I said, I had Georgia number three. You know what? I did a little bit of second-guessing myself when I heard about some of these injuries in Saturday's scrimmage. if I had already had to submit my ballot before then, but if I had a chance to that day, I might have put Clemson ahead of Georgia, just because, you know, you get a little scared when you hear about Jermaine Burton was silent, although I think he's back in practice now. You know, Kyrus Jackson is still working back from his knee injury. In any event, it will be decided on the field September 4th in Charlotte. Ryan, who are you more excited now to hear about, cornerback Kamari Lassiter or linebacker Smile Monday. Give me that pronunciation, guys.
Smell, right?
Is it?
Let's look here. It is rhymes with smile. So, yeah, Smile Monday. It's Munden. Rhymes with London, according to that.
Hey, what are you doing? You're throwing around my media guide over there.
Smile, because I think he's a guy, you know, top 15 recruit last year, has a great backstory. And kind of quietly, you know, just dominated in Paulding County last year and the subsequent 3 or 4 years. So,
yeah, he flashed at the G-Day game.
Yeah.
Did he play? I think he played. I mean, he's a guy that I'm expecting, you know, at least certainly on special teams, but I think there's opportunity there at inside linebacker to kind of carve some snaps out, especially, I mean, you know, these guys' clocks are running. You know, these five stars are coming here.
Yeah.
They're here to play three years and go to the NFL. So.
Right, but I think also Kirby has that system lined up, and it's, you know, in line with what they did at Alabama, where you know, you can't have a guy come in and be scared to play a little special teams his first year, and then, you know, then you fall into Kobe Dean with another, you know, you go Monty Rice and then the Kobe Dean into Smile Munden, you know, and you just have that, what they call it, you reload, you don't rebuild.
All right, Georgia got a commitment from Cole Spear, three-star wide receiver from Calhoun. Yeah. Is he the next Chris Durham? Is that the same school? Do they both go to Calhoun?
Yeah, they did go to Durham. Yeah. I mean, did go to Calhoun. You're right. I don't know.
Hey, Chris Durham, underrated Georgia Bulldog wide receiver.
I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little Matthew Stafford connection.
Yeah, they were good buds.
All right, last thing before we roll out NFL preseason. Jake Fromm came in the fourth quarter, helped the Bills to a preseason victory at Detroit. Does he make the roster?
Who was this again? I'm sorry. I was off in pronunciation land.
The guy's name is Jake Fromm. You might have heard of him.
Oh, yeah. So what was he? COVID?
Emergency COVID quarterback last year was away from the team. In case they had a situation like Denver did where they lost all their whole roster, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they had to go with a wide receiver.
Right.
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, I've never understood the NFL sometimes with quarterbacks and whatnot. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does in preseason. They have their plan. I can't honestly tell you if he makes the team or not. He probably won't, to be honest with you.
Practice squad, right?
Yeah, I guess he could be on that or just ship out to somewhere else.
All right, we'll see how that plays out.
I say this, he should have come back for his final year.
DJ Daniel released by the Jags yesterday on the same day Tim Tebow was. Any other guys you're looking to see, you know, will they make a roster, will they not, of these former Bulldogs?
I don't know. I can't think of...
Hey, what about your punter with the Falcons?
Sounds like he's the guy, right? I mean, they let the Syracuse punter they drafted in like the third round go.
How much preseason football do you watch?
None.
I look at the box scores because I'm curious to see what the Georgia guys are.
Right. But
yeah, I'm not turning.
I turned on about three plays in the Falcons Titans scrimmage the other day, and I was like, this sucks. So I turned it off. I mean, it was nobody you heard of. Matt Ryan's on the sidelines in street clothes.
More and more. The guys that are legit, they're not playing much at all. Yeah. So, all right, that's it for this edition of Bulldogs Extra
Pod. Hey, thanks to Kevin Kisner. That was fun.
That was good to have him. And we will talk to you all next week. Have a great rest of your week. See ya.